You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And like that dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Friday Eve. But I tell you what, though, let me jump over to my comments, you know, with regards to Ukraine. I'm going to spend some time on that this afternoon as we start the show. And I got to tell you, if you look back, let's face it, past experiences can color our perceptions every single day, right? I mean, it's reasonable to assume that someone's life experiences can have an impact on their future perceptions. You often hear of like a depression mentality. It's a term used to describe somebody who grew up during the Depression era in the United States and that the experience of having done without made them far more frugal in their later years. Well, people carry perceptions forward. Some good, some bad. You can imagine that the victim of a violent crime is more apt to be wary of their surroundings, or a wartime veteran may have a deeper appreciation for being home. I could go on and on, but I think you get it. Where you've been, what you've done, how much you've heard, what you've seen, those can all have a reasonably expected impact on the way you view life and circumstances. Well, me personally, I'm a product of the Cold War era. Like a lot of you in this audience, I remember the bulk of my formative years hearing about the specter of communism. How the Soviet Union was behind the Iron Curtain and intent on spying and espionage and proxy wars against the United States and our allies. When I was young, the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Bay of Pigs were still fresh. My father and my grandfather, they served in Vietnam, a war that was originally intended to thwart the unfettered march of communism across the Far East. I remember the days of the Cuban boat refugees as scores of Cubans packed tiny boats to make their way to U.S. waters and try to escape communist Cuba. When I was 13, I had a chance to go to what was still known then as West Berlin. My dad made sure we made it to the infamous Checkpoint Charlie. It was the gate from West Berlin to East Berlin. I will never forget standing there at the free side of the Berlin Wall, the barrier of concrete and wire and minefields that the communist East German and Soviet governments had put up to keep citizens from escaping to freedom. On the west side of the wall where I was at Checkpoint Charlie, there was actually a viewing stand, and I climbed up the steps to look across the wall at East Berlin. And I could still see it in my mind's eye as I looked over the communist side of Berlin, and it literally looked like a black and white movie, all drab, nondescript. And then I could turn around, and I saw life and color and the vibrancy of West Berlin. It was like the first part of the movie The Wizard of Oz when it switched from black and white to Technicolor. Well, then I entered the service myself. In 1987, I was at Fort Benning, Georgia as a young infantry officer for my basic officer course. The same week I entered that course, President Ronald Reagan stood up in front of the Brandenburg Gate in West Berlin, and he emphatically said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." But the Cold War didn't end right then, so during my course, my infantry officer basic course, I learned such nuclear-era things as how to count the flash-to-bang time of a nuclear blast, or what biological and chemical agents the Soviets were most prone to use. How to drop down to the ground, place my helmet towards a nuclear blast, and just hope for the best. And then came the day when they locked the doors and told us that it was time for us to learn how to calculate nuclear fallout and exposure ratings. Yeah. If the nuke goes off, how long do you have to wait before risking open exposure, and where on the map can you move your troops? Well, somewhere in that very bleak lesson on how to survive in a Soviet-spawned nuclear hell, we were taught to use the whiz wheel. Now, it sounds fancy, but it's really not. The whiz wheel, it was a series of plastic wheels of varying diameters that were superimposed over each other. Each one had digits and readouts, and by knowing such things as wind direction and flash-to-bang time and the width of the nuclear cloud and geographic locations and more, you could dial the wheels in various directions and the numbers would line up and calculate the nuclear yield. All of that with a simple little M28 radiac and nuclear yield calculator known by its name as the whiz wheel. What a heck of a thing. I mean, between that lesson on the whiz wheel and the slide presentation of what happens to a person who's exposed to various nuclear, biological, and chemical agents, well, let's just say it was a very sobering, and it colored my perceptions going forward, perceptions that even today caused me to see the war in Ukraine through a bit of a Cold War lens, if you know what I mean. So here's the deal. I'm hearing more and more that conservatives have a beef with supporting Ukraine in its fight against the Russians. A fight, by the way, that Ukraine did not ask for. A fight that is on their own soil against an aggressive neighboring Russia. A fight that many believe was just the first of a series of fights that were planned out, but that Ukraine has been able to help stymie by their uncanny ability to kill Russian soldiers. So let me start by asking you all a not-so-rhetorical question. You ready? Here's the question. Do you want Russia to win? Do you? If you want Russia to win, the conversation just stops there. But if your answer is no, that you do not want Russia to destroy and take over Ukraine, then I have to ask you the next question. What are you willing to do about it? Now, let me go on the record again and say that I've been saying for some time now, I am personally very concerned with the amount of money we're dumping into Ukraine, and I want to know what measures of accountability we're employing to make sure it stays on the up and up. I mean, let's face it, Ukraine is not known for having a corruption-free government, and I'm very aware of that. But Russia is far worse, and Russia is currently led by hardliners who used to be a part of the Soviet apparatchik. Old Soviets turned modern Russians who long for the glory days of being the scariest opponent to the NATO alliance. So if you're concerned about the money, then yes, so am I. But I still don't want Russia to win. If you're concerned because Biden is the one in charge, then yes, I share that sentiment. And more than once, I've thought that this was his way to try and distract from Afghanistan and wag the dog, if you will. Many of us believe that Putin would not have even dared to invade if Trump were still president. But what if he had? Would you be as concerned about supplying the Ukrainians with arms and funding if Trump was the one doing it? But Biden is the president. But I still don't want Russia to win. If you're irked that liberals seem intent on using the war in Ukraine to constantly virtue signal and pretend that they're the ones who are strong on national defense when we know they're not, or that our own border is more important than the Donbass region, or that energy prices are going up and up, or that we can't spend and spend and spend, well, I share all those concerns. But I still don't want Russia to win. I firmly believe that if Russia wins in its war against Ukraine, that Moldova and the Baltic states are next, that Georgia will never be free, that an emboldened Russia with its old-style Soviet tactics would destroy Eastern Europe a second time and suck NATO and the U.S. into a ground war. So ask yourself, do I want Russia to win? If the answer is no, then you got to ask yourself, what am I willing to do about it? Yeah, so put that in your whiz wheel and calculate it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, President Zelensky came last night, made his speech to Congress, which was significant. It was significant. I'll talk about that here in a minute. And the bottom line is this. I don't blame him. If I were him, I'd be doing the exact same thing. Who can help me? Will you help me? I will come and speak to you. You know what? He did the right thing by coming and speaking because we can't keep sending money and not seeing the face of the person to whom we're sending it. Nonetheless, all of this has got a lot of concerns wrapped up in it, and I don't like the fact that this administration is the one handling it, but at the same time, I don't want Russia to win. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, there's several pieces of breaking news, you know, none of which are great. I'm looking right now, CNN is breathless. They're breathless because the January 6th committee is going to release their full report on the Capitol attack. Yeah, whatever. That's just like, I got a whole section. The whole third part of the Triple Dipper today is the January 6th nothing burger. I mean, you talk about a waste of time and effort and energy and tax dollars. But then again, wasting tax dollars is nothing new in D.C. as I look over at the screen and see that Senate passed the $1.7 trillion spending bill with help from Republicans. And I need to find the list of what Republicans voted for it. As soon as I can find it, I will read that out to you. It's some of the ones you can imagine. They're always the same ones. If I sound a bit jaded, there you have it. We got to do something probably by the end of this day. You know, we're going to talk about the war in Ukraine, the Spendorama up in D.C., the January 6th Commission. Going to be talking to Congressman Brooks about some of the above. We're probably going to do something lighthearted towards the end of the show, Boomer.
That's a good idea.
Just to pull me out of it.
Just like, to pull you out of it.
Before I go to the house. Yeah.
just to end on a good note for the day.
Charlene will probably call and say, don't you bring that frumpy attitude home.
She probably will.
I'm sorry, honey. Anyway, I'm going to find the names of the Republicans. I said it right the first time, the Democrats. The Republicans who voted for the Democrats' spending bill. Yep, there you go. So that's all breaking. Hey, by the way, tons of stuff to tell you is on our website, all right? So listen, if you want to go check out our website, www.rightsideradio.org, you'll find a ton of stuff on there, not the least of which is our podcast. So the podcast is just kicking. I see you just pulled it up, Boomer.
I cannot talk today.
Where are you today?
I do not know. Almost 103,000.
Be careful what buttons you push over there today.
I know.
Almost 103,000.
Almost 103.
Sweet. I feel like we just did push-ups the other day trying to reach 100,000.
We did.
Okay, cool.
Sweet.
All right. So anyway, yeah, you can go to our website, www.rightsideradio.org. And you'll find access to all of our... We're live streaming the show right now. You can see the Christmas tree here in the studio. You can see Boomer and I sitting here opining about things. You can see all the buttons that... I don't know what they do, but Boomer does. But you can also just watch the show live. We also stream it, by the way, on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and I'm forgetting something else.
Website.
Thank you. That's the one I was talking about.
That's the one.
Okay, thanks. Now I'm the one that can't find words. All right, but then... we also have the podcast piece, which I told you about. You can find the podcast on the website, or you can go to your favorite sourcing like Apple or Podbean or whatever and just Google Right Side Radio within those podcast apps, and bam, there you are. I will point out, there's some other stuff on this website. It's just getting – it's such a robust site. You can always find the number to call in. So right now, the call and text lines are open. Thank you very much. 833-687-4448. My gosh, the text line's already blown up.
Yeah.
So the text lines are going. But yeah, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT is the number. If you want to call or text, the same number for both. Make healthy use of those. And we're going to want to hear from you today. As we get closer to Christmas, I want your thoughts before we hit the Christmas weekend on several things. Here's my question to you. As we go into the next break, I'm going to come back on number one of the Triple Dipper, Ukraine Explained. I want to spend some time unpacking where we are in the conflict right now, what we've been supplying, what we're going to supply, and what Zelensky had to say and why he had to say it last night. Because you heard my comments a moment ago. There are a number of different facets to this conflict. If you don't like the fact that we're spending money, I get it. But everything has to start first with the philosophical question, do you want Russia to win? It's really not that philosophical. Do you want Russia to win? And you go, oh, Phil, it's a European conflict. Is it? Is it really? Is it? Because we're part of NATO. I'm not looking for, I am not looking for U.S. troops to be over there. Not at all. At all. But I want to hear what your thoughts are. 833-687-4448. Are you supportive of the effort to keep Ukraine funded and supplied with weapons and ammunition? Do you think we ought to back off altogether? Do you want to moderate what we're doing? Do you want to find a different way to do what we're doing? I'm curious what your thoughts are. I got a bunch of vets out there I know in the audience who have that firsthand perspective of having been on the ground somewhere. But tell me what you think. 833-687-4448. Call or text. What do you think about the war in Ukraine? And I guess start with this. Do you want Russia to win? I want to know that. If there's anybody out there that wants Russia to win, I'd like to know. If you don't want to name your name, okay. But if you want Russia to win, or if you just don't care, tell me. We can lay that as the foundation for the conversation. All right, that's going to be number one of the Triple Dipper, Ukraine Explained. I've also got some stuff from General Jack Keane's Institute for the Study of War that gives you the latest intel on what's happening in the conflict. And then what weapon systems are we about to send over? Well, some major ones, let me tell you. Some major weapon systems are en route to the conflict. And how is Russia responding to the fact that Zelensky came and spoke to a session of Congress? Well, you can imagine. Russia don't like it. Russia don't like it much at all. Do I really care? No. truth be told, that was probably the right thing for Zelensky to do. With as much money and as much treasure as we're sending over there, the very idea that he would not do it would be a problem. All right, folks, we got plenty more. This is going to be a full-packed show, but your input is just as valuable as what I've got. So call it in, text it in, 833-687-4448. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.